This morning, find your place with me in the book of Revelation, chapter number one. The book of Revelation, chapter number one. And I'm trying to mind the Lord this morning. I had a message that I thought I was going to preach. I was prepared. And as I walked into church, as I was on my way to church this morning, it seemed as if the Lord had kind of shifted gears. And so y'all pray for the preacher. The preacher needs help. And I want to mind the Lord. Amen. I've told you from time to time, I feel like as Christians, we would do best if we would just learn to pitch the sail and let the wind blow. And I don't ever want to get into business of telling God what to do. I want to mind the Lord and let him show me what to do. So if you got your Bibles in Revelation chapter number 1, we'll begin reading in verse number 1. The Bible said, "The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave to him to show unto his servants things which must shortly come to pass, and he sent and signified it by his angel unto his servant John, who bare record of the word of God, and of the testimony of Jesus Christ, and of the all things that he saw. Blessed is he that readeth, and they that hear the words of this prophecy, and keep those things which are written therein, for the time is at hand." And so we see here in just a brief introduction to the book of Revelation that the Bible tells us clearly this is the revelation of Jesus Christ. You may have a Bible, and at the top of the chapter here in the heading, sometimes they write the revelation of St. John the Beloved or St. John the Divine, but the Bible does not say this is the revelation of St. John. The Bible clearly says that what we are reading here is the revelation of Jesus Christ. I believe that's vitally important as we read and study the Word of God, that we're not reading about John. Amen. You didn't come to hear this morning about the preacher. You came to hear about the one that the preacher's going to preach about. And when you read the Bible, you don't read about John necessarily. You're reading about the Lord Jesus. And the Bible said it's the revelation of Jesus Christ. And then in verse number 4, John tells us that he's the writer, John, to the seven churches which are in Asia, grace be unto you and peace from him which is and which was and which is to come and from the seven spirits which are before his throne, speaking of the fullness of the Holy Spirit, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness and the first begotten of the dead, the prince of the kings of the earth, unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood, and hath made us kings and priests unto God and his Father, to him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Verse 7, "Behold, he cometh with clouds, and every eye shall see him, and they also which pierced him, and all kindreds of the earth shall wail because of him. Even so, amen. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the ending, saith the Lord, which is and which was and which is to come, the Almighty." Father, in Jesus' name, help us this morning. Help me, your vessel, Lord, to allow you to flow through me. I pray that you would give me the words to say. I pray that, Lord, you would embed the thoughts upon my heart and in my mind that would be revealed to these people that have gathered today, and do it all for your glory. Speak to our hearts, challenge us, change us. There's one here this morning, no doubt, that's lost without Jesus Christ. I pray that today you would point them and bring them to the Lord Jesus. I pray for Christians that are discouraged, that maybe today, Lord, they're dragging. They came in because they knew they needed to be here. But I pray that, God of heaven, that you'd breathe on them and show them just how much you loved them and gave yourself for them. I pray you'd help us today. Lord, this preacher needs help. I realize, Lord, today that I'm in great need of your touch, and I beg you, oh God, help me, God, I pray in Jesus' name, amen and amen. As we read here the introduction to the book of Revelation, it's not long we see in the very first verse that it is the revelation of Jesus Christ. And as we read through here, as John writes, he lets us know that it is from Jesus Christ, and he's writing of him which is, and which was, and which is to come. And that is the Lord Jesus Christ. So it's right here in the first few verses, very clear, very in your face, if you will, that it's all about Jesus. It's vitally important that you learn in the Christian life that the Christian life is all about Jesus. It's not about the preacher. It's not about you. It's all about Jesus. And I understand as we come to the book of Revelation, John says there's a blessing on them that read and hear it and keep it, the things that are written therein. And we thank God for that. And we want to look into the book of Revelation from time to time and read it and hear it and keep it. And I'm thankful for the book of Revelation, but it's important that as we look in the book of Revelation, as well as in the rest of the Word of God, that we realize the Word of God is all about Jesus. John 1:1 said, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. You can't pick up this King James Bible and come away with any other conclusion than that this book is Jesus written down for you and I. It is God revealing himself to us. So as we come to the book of Revelation, and we are going to see, as if you was to read the remainder of this book, you will see how John tells us about things that were and things that are and things which shall be hereafter. And as he writes about the things of the time in which Jesus lived, and he writes about the things of which we are living in the church age, and then when he writes from chapter 4 on about the times after the church is raptured out, and he's writing about all the events in the world and the events that take place in heaven and the events concerning the church in glory and the events concerning those inhabitants of the earth after the church is raptured out, and then the events in which Jesus Christ comes back in chapter 19 and following, and the things that take place. And when he's writing about all of these things, he's writing all of these things about Jesus Christ. It is the revelation of Jesus Christ, who he is, what he does, and what he will do, and what he's going to do in the future. We are looking at that in the book of Revelation. And so when we come to the book of Revelation, understand that it is all about him. And as we look into this morning, I just want to give you a few thoughts on because of Jesus. Because of Jesus. When I read here, in verse 5 through verse number 8, I see some things about our lives because of the Lord Jesus. Because I can imagine, and I can just tell you about my own self, and I can imagine about some of you, but if this were about me, it would be a lot of failures. If this book was written about me, it would be a lot of bumps and like this. It would be like up and down, up and down, up and down. Because that's the way my life is. Is that not true of you? Our lives, sometimes we're on the up, and sometimes we're on the down. Sometimes I'm encouraged, sometimes I'm discouraged. Sometimes I'm doing it all right, sometimes it seems like I'm doing it all wrong. Amen. Can I get a witness in here this morning? And if this book was about me, it would be all up and down, all over the place. But when we read about the Lord Jesus Christ, can I just remind you this morning, when you read about Jesus, you'll find nothing wrong. Pilate said, I find no fault in this man. This man is an innocent man. Judas even said he betrayed innocent blood. And I'm telling you that when you come to the Lord Jesus Christ, there's no ups and downs, there's no round and rounds, there's no fault, there's no failure, there's no flaws. It's all about the perfect man, the God man, the man, Christ Jesus. And I'm thankful for him this morning. And as I look here in Revelation chapter and number 1, I see some things that are different about my life because of Jesus. How many of you know that Jesus, when he comes by, he'll make a difference in your life? And when Jesus touches you, your life will never be the same. You may be a failure. You may be all faltering. You may have a lot of flaws in your life. Oh, but when Jesus comes by, hey, it only takes the touch of the hem of his garment. And if you touch him this morning, he can make a difference in your life. If you touch him this morning, he'll radically change your life, turn your life around, turn you inside out, make you life. Make your life anew from the inside. Amen. I'm telling you, he can make a difference. As we get here, before John ever got into what you want to get into, some of you in the book of Revelation, about what's going to happen, John said, let me tell you about what has already happened. Amen. Sometimes in the Christian life, we try to get ahead of ourselves and say, what's going to happen? Let's just stop this morning and let's take a gander back at what has already happened. Y'all take a look back with me. Number one, because of Jesus, we're washed. Because of Jesus, look at verse number 5, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, there's nothing wrong with him. He doesn't change. He's always true. He's always faithful. And the first begotten of the dead, that is, he's the first one that rose from the grave. He conquered death, hell, and the grave. And he's the prince of the kings of the earth. Unto him that loved us, that he's the ruler. There's no more like him. There's none over him. He's the supreme leader. You say he's not on the throne now, but honey, get ready. He's coming. Unto him that loved us, you ought to stop, pause, shout, run, wave your hands, meditate, whatever you do right there. Unto him that loved us. Can I remind you, he loved you when you were unlovable. You don't deserve his love. There's nothing you can do this morning to make him love you anymore. And there's nothing you can do this morning to make him love you any less. Paul said in Galatians 2:20, unto him that loved us and gave himself for us. He loved me and gave himself for me. Amen. And he said, unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood. Can I remind you this morning, he was faithful. He is faithful. There's nothing wrong with Jesus. He had no sin. The writer of Hebrews said, listen, that those other priests, they daily were given sacrifice for their own sins. But this man, oh no, not this man. He had no sins. Jesus did not need to provide a sacrifice for his sins. When he went to Calvary, he did it because he loved us, and he's offering a sacrifice for our sins. All we like sheep have gone astray, turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him, that's on Jesus, the iniquity of us all. I deserve to die at Calvary. You deserve to die at Calvary. I was dirty. I was depraved. You are the wicked and depraved without Christ. Unto him that loved us. Y'all thank God that he loved us. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. I'm glad he loved the world. I'm glad in Acts chapter number 20 the Bible talks about how he loved the church. And he purchased the church with his own blood. I'm thankful for that, but I'm thankful for that Galatians 2:20, where he said, I'm crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. The life which I now live, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me. He loved me. He didn't say who loved the church. He didn't say who loved the world, but he said unto him, he said that loved me. You ought to get excited and ought to thrill your soul if you're lost this morning and you think no one cares. I'm telling you this morning about one who loves you. Unto you, unto him that loved you. He loves you. And we sing about, yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, he loves you. He doesn't love you because of you. He loves you in spite of you. On him that loved us. And his love motivated him to go to Calvary. It's because of his love that he went to Calvary. And the Bible said that because of Calvary, he didn't just love us, but he washed us. Oh, I'm glad he washed us. I don't know, sometimes we like to come in church and we try to put on our best and we get our hair cut short and our suit looking clean and we get it all pressed and ladies got their dress just nice. We try to make everybody forget where we used to be. Don't want anybody to know how I used to be. You ought not stay there, but every once in a while you ought to remember the day. You ought to thank God for the day that he came where you were. He came back just the way you were. He didn't tell you to clean up and then he'd love you. He said, if you'll let me love on you, I'll clean you up. He came your way. I want to remind you about something in 1 Corinthians chapter number 6. Listen to what the Apostle Paul wrote to the church of Corinth in 1 Corinthians chapter number 6. In verse number 9, he said, know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators. Listen. Nor fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, that's homosexuals, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. That's a pretty bad picture there, isn't it? Most of us would fit in there somewhere in our lifetime, somewhere in that description. But verse 11, I like verse 11. Look at verse 11, look at it real close. And such were, past tense, were some of you.
Right.
No, preacher, not me. And such were some of you, but, don't you love it when God butts in?
Amen.
And such were some of you, but ye are, what's that word? Ye are washed. You know what? He washed us. I'm so glad he washed us, amen. I'm washed in the blood, amen. We sing that song right here. Are you washed in the blood? Thank God I can say amen. I am washed in the blood. But ye are washed. And such were some of you in the past before I met Christ. Before I got saved, before I was converted, before I was regenerated, I was like that. Such were some of you, past tense. That might not be your life now. But if you know He's made a difference in your life, if you know you met Christ and He changed you, you can sing that old song, I'm so glad He found me and love it bound me. Put His arms all around me, led me to the shelter that I'm one of His own. And all the joy of knowing is He happy about this morning. The fact that He loves you and He washed you and you're washed. Let's be more preserved. Such were some of you, but you are washed. You're sanctified. You're justified. In the name of the Lord Jesus, by the Spirit of our God. Well, glory. Hallelujah. Don't get too excited. That ought to blow our dignity out of us once in a while. I'm talking about make a Presbyterian brother the back end of his choir robe out, amen. I'm talking about enough to know that God loved you and He gave Himself for it. Hey, He didn't have to come. Jesus didn't have to love you. He could have looked on you and said, you spit in my face. You turned your back on me. You rejected me one too many times. You sinned against me. You didn't believe my son. You didn't trust me. You did this. You did this. He could have kept a list and said, no. Oh, but honey, He didn't keep a list. He took a look at town and He saw what Jesus was. Woo! Hallelujah to God. He seen what Jesus did. And He loved me and He washed me.
Amen.
Washed us from our sins. I like that, from our sins. In other words, you don't need to be living in your sins. He washed you from your sins. That washing has the idea that He cleans you up and He loosed you from the power of those sins. He's washed you. He's delivered you from the penalty of sin. He's daily delivering you from the power of sin. One day, thank God, because He's delivered you from the penalty and the power, one day He's going to deliver you from the very presence of sin.
Hallelujah.
That's justification, sanctification, and glorification in a nutshell. He saved you from, He's saving you now, and He's going to save you from the very presence because He loves you. And He washed you from our sins in His own blood. He didn't wash you from our sins in our good works. He didn't wash us from our sins in a baptistry. You can be baptized so many times you know every tadpole by name. Amen. But He washed us from our sins in His own blood. His blood that was spotless blood. His blood that was precious blood. Powerful blood. I'm talking about no blemish, no spot. Perfect blood. And Jesus didn't go to Calvary and spill a drop of blood. But He laid there willingly, voluntarily, and He poured out His blood. He shed His blood. You say, why did He do it? I'll tell you why. Because He loved you. 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 Boys and girls, He loves you. And I just want to blow the religion off of you. He loved those in Afghanistan and those in Uzbekistan and Uzbekistan and all those other stands and Japan. Red, yellow, black, and white, they are precious in His sight. Jesus loved the little children of the world. just because they're not from your culture, and just because they didn't come from your side of the track, just because they don't comb their hair the way you comb your hair, just because they don't do things just exactly the way, doesn't mean that He doesn't love them. He loved us. I'm thankful that He loved me and He washed me. Thankful. I don't know about you, but I'm thankful that He washed me. I know me better than you know me. You might want to come here and put on a little facade and want to try to think, make everybody think that you ain't never done a wrong. But honey, I know better. You live in the same kind of skin I live in. You face the same kind of temptations that I face. And if you don't, you ain't right. The Bible said that Jesus was tempted in all points like as we are, yet without sin. Meaning He had no sin nature. But hey, He was tempted. And I'm tempted. And I'm still tempted, but what's the difference? I've been washed. I've been washed. I'll tell you what's wrong with a lot of people in our church. They've been enrolled. They've been baptized. They've been indoctrinated. But they've never been washed.
Right.
Let me ask you a question this morning. Do you know that you know that you know beyond any shadow of any doubt that you've been washed? You're not washed because you're a Baptist. You're not washed because you're a Southerner or because you're an American. You're, the only reason you're washed is because He loved you, gave Himself for you, and one day He convicted you and you bowed your knee in faith and repentance to the Lord Jesus Christ. He came to your life and saved you, and when He did, He washed you. Washed you. Are you washed this morning? But thank God, because of Jesus, not only am I washed, but because of Jesus, I'm worthy. I mean, don't judge me for what I look like this morning. He's not finished with me yet. And what you see is not what He sees. You're looking at, old boy, it's falling apart. I hit 40 years old. I wound up getting metal put in my neck, and I probably need some more metal or something. I need something. Or, hey, man, I hate to discourage some of you young people, but after 40... physically, it's about all downhill. I thought I was in good shape. Somebody the other day said, wait till you're 65. I said, dear Lord, help us. Physically falling apart. Still ain't got all the answers. I used to think I had all the answers. Now I don't even remember the questions. A lot of things in this world I can't do. I'm not rich. I'm not a ruler over many. There's a lot of things I'm not in this world. But watch the Bible. Watch what the Bible says. But Him that loved us and washed us from our sins in His own blood. And watch verse 6. And hath made us kings and priests unto God and His Father. To Him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Look right here. Y'all looking at a priest. Y'all looking at a king and a priest. And don't feel left out. Go home and look in the mirror if you're saved, and you'll see one there too. What that old song said, oh, it's not what you see that makes me a king. It's not the things in this world. It's all because of Him. Because you know where I'm at today? You say, preacher, you're on the platform. You're standing beside the pulpit right at New Hope Baptist Church of Walnut Cove. Well, yeah, sort of. But according to Ephesians chapter number 2, I'm in Christ.
That's right.
I'm in Him and He's in me. He's in me permanently, but I'm in Him. I'm seated in the heavenlies in Christ Jesus. Are y'all with me? Positionally, I'm in Christ. And if you're saved positionally, you're in Christ. You don't have to go through life saying, well, I'm all right under the circumstances. If you're saved, you don't have to be under the circumstances. If you're saved, hey, positionally, you're in Christ. You're an overcomer. You're more than a conqueror. Hey, in Christ. He's made us worthy. No, not because of anything that I've done. I'm not worthy because of anything I've done. Don't misunderstand me. Don't go around and say, well, the preacher thought he was worthy. No. I'm not worthy in anything that I've done. The only reason I'm worthy is because of what He's made of me. The difference that Christ has made in my life. And positionally, He's placed me in Christ, in His body. I am an heir and a joint heir with Christ. You ought to stop and think about that. You're a joint heir with Christ. What of God's is not Christ? I won't blow y'all's mind this morning, but you're a joint heir with Christ. Just ask him. What, and made us kings and priests. We walk around so many times like beggars and paupers. And I understand I'm just one beggar telling another beggar where I found bread. Yeah, I'm thankful for that. But after I became a beggar that found bread, I'm no longer a beggar. I'm sitting at the king's table. What about old Mephibosheth? He was down there, low to bar. He didn't have anything. He's hungry. He's crippled. He's messed up. It's all because of his forefathers doing somebody else done something. Now he's handicapped because of it. But the king sent his messenger by one day. And he went down there and he got Mephibosheth. And he set Mephibosheth at his table. He said, Mephibosheth, from now on out, you can eat right here at my table. Amen. You know what they couldn't see when Mephibosheth was up underneath the table? They couldn't see his legs. They couldn't see where he was flawed. All they could see was where he was favored. Amen. I'm telling you, some of y'all need to quit living in your flaw and start living in the favor of God. And think about what God's done for you. Yeah, you was messed up. Yeah, you was all a mess. Yeah, you was a wreck. Yeah, you was on your way to hell. But God came by in mercy and in grace. And Jesus loves you. And he saved you. And he's poured his favor on you. And you don't have to walk around a pauper, a beggar, and a failure anymore. You can walk around in the goodness of God. He's made us kings and priests. Amen. Let me give you a little bit more on that kings and priests. That's not just now. That's not just not about now, but one day Jesus is coming back. The Bible says he's going to rule and reign with a rod of iron. And guess what we're going to do? We're going to rule and reign with him. And your position there, I'm going to blow your minds. Your position, if you're saved, you'll be there, but your position and where you rule and how you rule, where he puts you will be based on how you serve him now. Amen. Too much is given, much is going to be required. He's washed us. He's made us worthy. Shall I move on? Because of Jesus, I'm washed. Because of Jesus, I'm worthy. Verse number 7, because of Jesus, I'm watching. Behold, he cometh. Behold, he cometh with clouds, and every eye shall see him, and they also which pierced him, and all kindreds of the earth shall wail because of him. Even so, amen. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the ending, saith the Lord, which is, which was, which is to come, the Almighty. Now, I need to stop, and I need to give you a little bit of dispensational truth. The Bible was given to us progressively, progressive revelation. And so as John is writing here, he's writing about not necessarily the rapture, but it does include the rapture. He's writing about the second coming as a whole, put together. And the second coming, really, and I've taught you this and I've preached this, but the second coming really is divided. The second coming, it begins at the rapture of the church when Jesus steps out in the clouds and he calls those that are his home and he says, come up hither, and those that are saved are coming up hither. If you're not saved, you'll be left behind. Then after he's gone, about 7 years here on this earth, literal hell on earth, be the time of great tribulation here on this earth. For 7 years, a time of tribulation, time of Jacob's trouble. But at the time of Jacob's trouble is ended, at the end of those 7 years, Jesus is coming with clouds. And he's coming not in the clouds, but he's coming down to Mount Olive. He's going to place his foot on Mount Olive. He's going to split it wide open. And he's not coming to take sides. He's not coming for a vote. He's coming to take over. And he's going to set up his kingdom on planet earth. And he's going to rule. And he's going to reign from Jerusalem for 1,000 glorious years. We call that the revelation. At the rapture, only those that are saved are going to see him. It's going to be like a thief in the night. He's going to call us out here. We're gone. Only those that are saved will hear him. But at the revelation, in that 7 years, when he comes, it's coming in the clouds, and it's going to be like a processional. He's coming to this earth. And John writes about that. And he says, and every eye shall see him. They also which pierced him. He's quoting here from Zechariah. And they're going to look upon him and they're going to see him whom they pierced. That Jewish nation who rejected him. That Jewish nation that had him crucified. They're going to look at him and they're going to say, that's him. That's him.
That's the one we pierced. I'm telling you, ladies and gentlemen, Jesus is coming. You say they've been saying that for a couple of thousand years. If the Lord tarries and God gives me breath, we're going to keep saying it until I die or until Jesus comes. Jesus is coming. Jesus is coming. Jesus is coming. You better be ready, ladies and gentlemen. Hey, I know not whether it be today. I know whether or not be whether it be this year. But I know this, just as sure as God made little green apples, Jesus is coming. He's coming. He's coming. He's coming. And you better be ready. You better be ready. And when he comes in that revelation, we're going to be with him. Jude said in Jude 14, he cometh with his saints. With. How did he come with them? Because according to 1 Thessalonians 4, 16 and 17, he had to come for them before he could come with them. Woo! We which are alive and remain. He said the dead in Christ shall rise first, and we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds, be with the Lord in the air. So shall we ever be with him. Amen. He had to come for us if we're going to come with him. Here's a question this morning. Are you going to be with him? When every eye looks on him and sees him, whom they pierced. Hey, young lady, listen. When they look on him, whom they pierced, are you going to be with him? Or are you going to be with them? Are you going to be with him? Or are you going to be with them? And I ain't got time to get into all of it this morning, but I want to drop it on this right here. 2 Thessalonians chapter number 2 teaches us, if you're sitting here and you've heard the gospel, and you've heard that Jesus loved you, gave himself for you, you've been given a presentation, you've been given an opportunity to receive Christ now in this day of grace, and you've rejected the truth and the love and the grace of God, and that rapture takes place, you might as well take the mark of peace and have it as good as you can, because you're on your way to hell. You're on your way to the lake of fire. It ain't no time to get ready. Some of you might have read a book or watched a movie and said, well, after the rapture, I can get ready. Oh, no. That's not what the Bible says. After the rapture, you're doomed, friend. Because you didn't receive the love of God now when you could. Here's my heart. Here's what I'm begging you this morning. Quit playing religion. Quit coming to church thinking you're okay. And get washed. Heart breaks because as a pastor, I'm not God, but I know that there's no way that people can come and go and live the way they do, and that everybody that names the name of Christ is truly saved. And I know that it's quite possible that people that I preach to on a regular basis one day, going to lift their eyes in a place called hell. They'll live past the rapture and miss being taken out and go into the tribulation. Receive the mark of the beast. And eventually wind up in the lake of fire. Forever. Ever. And I just have to tell you, I find no pleasure in that. My heart breaks. Somebody grab that young before I do. Listen, please. The devil will throw any kind of distraction he can your way this morning. But somebody's here this morning and needs to know it's time to get ready. It's time to get ready. We don't look for signs. We're listening for a shout. But I'm telling you, if that Jewish nation's looking for signs, their signs are starting to appear everywhere. And you can't help but see through the Jewish window and see some of the things that's taking place. And I'm listening for that shout any day. We're in a dark, depraved world, but I'm telling you, as dark as it is, the sun's about to pop out. Are you ready? Are you watching? Mark said in Mark 13, as Jesus gave the Olivet Discourse, when Mark wrote about it, Mark 13, 37, Mark said, and what I say to you all, he said, watch. Watch. Are you watching this morning? What did Titus 2, 13, looking for that blessed hope? The glorious spirit of a great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Are you looking for that blessed hope this morning?
Do you have an anticipation that what he's promised, that Jesus said, if I go away, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also? Are you looking forward with anticipation that Jesus is coming? Are you excited about it? I'm afraid too many of us were trying to make more money. We want to get this bill. We want to do this. And we've got our mindset. Hey, don't drive your stakes too deep. Jesus could come back for supper time. Are you ready? Are you ready? Hey, because of Jesus, I'm washed. Because of Jesus, I'm worthy. And because of Jesus, I'm watching. Because he's coming. He's coming. Are you ready? Let's stand all across the auditorium. Heads are bowed. Eyes are closed. You've listened well. May God speak to our hearts. Father, in Jesus' name, convict and draw. Help us this morning. We need you, Lord. Oh, God, I pray in the stillness of this hour. I'm going to ask the pianist to come and play just as I am, without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me. If you need to come this morning, you need to come. You come, you mind the Lord. Altar's open. If you're not saved, you've never been saved, we invite you to come. Maybe you're here and you're saved and you know you're saved. There's no doubt in your mind that you're saved. God's challenged you. Maybe you're not watching for him. You're not living. John said in 1 John 3, every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself. Maybe you're not living a life that's pure and holy. Where are you at this morning? Jesus is coming. Jesus is coming. Are you ready? Are you ready, sir? Are you ready? Young man, young lady, are you ready? Has there ever been a...